Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. For episode 83 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about creating your own life with our guest, Jeremy Slate. After getting burned out by working at various jobs and working some 16-hour days, Jeremy decided to start the Create Your Own Life podcast in late 2015. The podcast took off quickly, and he's had guests like Grant Cardone, Russell Brunson, and Kevin Harrington, among others. Jeremy is a teacher and personal trainer who helps people reach their higher levels because he believes they can get there. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Jeremy to the show.
Hey, Mark. Stoked to be hanging out with you today, man.
Jeremy, it is a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast, and I really look forward to diving deeper into creating your own life, but I'd love to get some backstory first. So can you go deeper about why you started the Create Your Own Life podcast?
Totally, man. It's funny because it comes from a place of I tried a bunch of things that just really didn't work. And I had had at 19, I had a knee surgery that didn't really go so well. And I actually received last rites and they told my parents that they didn't know if I was going to make it. And funny enough, it had no effect on my life. I just kept living somebody else's dream. And it wasn't until in 2013 when my mom had a stroke where she lost all of her language skills and use of the right side of her body, that it really hit me. And it's because it wasn't really me is kind of what I figured out. And it was when it was outside of myself, it kind of made me look at things and realize, you know, why was I doing everything I was doing? And in 2013, later in that year, I quit my job on a whim. And I had a conversation with my dad and he's like, you know, basically, what the heck is wrong with you? And I'm like, I want to create my own life. And his response was, good luck, buddy. So it was kind of an interesting place to be in. And then I tried various things, network marketing, insurance sales, direct sales, online marketing, building websites, until finally I kind of looked at what I was doing. And I'm like, all right, how can I offer some value to the world? And that's where the whole idea of the Create Your Own Life podcast came in. It's funny because I was talking to somebody about like their monetization plan for their podcast today. And I'm like, well, I'm probably the worst person to give you advice on monetizing a podcast because that wasn't my purpose early on. I just really wanted to help and serve people. And that's what allowed me to build the platform I built was because I was just here to help. And it's really interesting how that actually helped me create everything I wanted.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing with us that backstory of why you started the Create Your Own Life podcast. And before we talk about creating the lives how we want to live them, we first have to determine what kind of life we want to live because clarity is the first step towards actual achievement. So how do you suggest we determine the lives that we want to create?
It's kind of hard to look at it the way most people do because most people look at it by what do they want to have. And that comes back to money and everything else. And you make really bad decisions early on when that's what it's looking like. So for me, it's kind of deciding, you know, what's my basic purpose? What do I really enjoy doing? And it's funny because where my life started, I was a high school teacher and my purpose has always been teaching. I just had to find the right way for me that I could help people to really implement. And that's what brought me down the podcasting route. So I'd say to people that, you know, I don't really have any specific, you know, go out in the woods and talk to your shaman and he'll tell you your basic purpose. But you need to find out what you really enjoy and how you can really add value to the world and then figure out what that looks like in terms of how you can then help people with that. And I recommend a really awesome book to help you in that process called So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport, because Cal talks about this whole idea of not following your passion, because that can be a really bad idea and passion can lead you down the wrong road, but rather find out what you're good at and get so darn good at it that you become passionate. And I think that really aligns well with finding something that lines up with your basic purpose.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing with us how we can determine the life that we want to create for ourselves. And when someone goes through this activity and they have an idea of the type of life that they want to lead, some people, they tend to view this as a really high level that they're not able to reach quite yet. And I was wondering, with that in mind, how do you get people to believe that they can reach those higher levels that they envision themselves reaching and want so much in their lives?
Well, it's funny, man, because I feel like we tend to take a lot of people's opinions early on of why we can't do things, right? And it's when you kind of look at, I guess, really look at like a lot of the negative opinions, you find out they aren't your own. And once you can pull a lot of that doubt out of things, it's easier to kind of go along that line of how you can serve, because a lot of other people that get kind of scared of, you know, our success, because if we have success, then they may have to work harder or do something different with their lives. So really you have to kind of weed out a lot of those negative opinions. So for me, it was deciding who were the people around me that really supported my mission. And it's funny because I found that a lot of the friends around me at the time just really didn't support that mission. So I started to kind of find people that were more in line with what I was doing. And you'll notice that as you change your friend environment, and as you change maybe even the environment you live in, sometimes that helps as well, it's really going to align you more for success. And you find out that, you know, it's not you that wants yourself to fail. Sometimes it's people around you that your success kind of scares. So that's really the biggest thing I tell people is look at what your environment is. Look at who's around you and kind of decide if they're people that are sharing the same mission as you. And sometimes you may find out they're not.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing with us those great insights on creating that atmosphere where we can really achieve those higher levels. And there are obviously some tough decisions that need to be made, sacrifices, but that is definitely part of the journey. And one of the things that is so interesting about your journey is that you did many things before a podcast. I talked earlier about how you worked at jobs and you had some 16-hour days. So with you doing all these different things, how did you then stay so committed to the podcast and that it eventually took off so quickly?
Well, it's funny when you look at it that way. It's kind of like you get to a point in your life that I was finally like 25, 26 at that point. It was like, all right, well, you quit this thing. And if you kind of stuck with it, probably would have worked. You quit this other thing. And if you stuck with it, it may have worked. So I kind of just got to the point where I was tired of it and kind of realized the issue was myself. And I said, all right, I'm going to stick to this one thing. And I'm going to stick to it for at least 6 months and see how it goes. And because I really stuck to something, that was the difference. It just was really a point of frustration, Mark. Like I wasn't really ready to quit anymore because I had quit so long. I was kind of like, am I going to do this the rest of my life? Just keep starting and quitting things. And it's amazing the more and more people I talk to that, you know, they remember when my podcasting journey started and a lot of the different things I was doing, they're like, man, you're really like rocking it now. And it's like, it's cause I didn't quit. Like I was like, okay, let me write some more articles. Let me produce some more episodes. Let me create some more content. And it's really just those small steps on top of each other. I'm not going to say that being successful at something is really easy, but consistency is half the battle. And if you can really just decide, okay, that's it. And let's do it. It really is going to change what you're doing.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing with us how you got that commitment towards podcasting, even though there are different things that you're doing beforehand. And one of the things that I thought about as you were talking about your commitment towards podcasting is that there are a lot of different barriers that we come across, and that's why we could be so committed to one area, but then a lot of barriers come up and then we turn away, we go somewhere else, and we continue this cycle until barriers come up and we pull back. So how can we step over the barriers that seem to be in the way between us and our goals?
Wow. Well, I think the biggest thing too, first is identifying them, right? Because some people won't acknowledge there's a barrier there. And I think a lot of times you have to acknowledge why you're not doing something. And sometimes it makes things kind of fun, right? Because life is, for life to really be a game, it has to be made up of a couple things. It has to be made up of freedoms and barriers and goals. And if you don't have any of those three things, then you're not really going to go anywhere. So barriers just make it a little bit more fun, and they really test your internal ability, and it kind of separates them from the boys in a lot of ways. So I would say that barriers are things that create ingenuity. So, you know, if I'm having an issue with my show, I found a better technology option. I found different ways to contact people. So really, I don't think that barriers are an issue, but barriers are like something that creates innovation, right? Like that's why different things happen better out of the ordinary, because it makes us have to work harder or try something different. So I think it's funny that Grant Cardone is always talking about something you always want is more problems and bigger problems, because basically when you're doing things on a larger level, it's going to create problems. They're going to happen. Your problems are never going to go away. But it's that person that can deal with them and deal with them on a large level and be forced to innovate and work harder that's going to see a difference.
And it is interesting how you view barriers as, yes, they are annoying to get through, but it's challenging for the mind. It's something that we should approach as a fun activity on the way towards our goal achievements. We shouldn't view them and be like, oh, this barrier is really frustrating me and it's basically making it the work less fun. You have to be able to enjoy the work as you are going through the barriers. And Grant Cardone is one of the many people who you've interviewed on your podcast, and you've interviewed many people who have gone on to create their own lives, some of them on a very massive scale. And as you were asking all those questions and hearing what all those people had to say, what were some of the habits, characteristics, and traits that those people seemed to share in common?
Well, let me just say one thing, too, just to add to what you said, and then I'll get into that. I've always had a big fitness background, and I feel like that's also part of what's helped me to see barriers as something that's kind of fun, because in fitness, you're always trying to challenge yourself every day and kind of blow through a goal, and it's not really fun unless it's hard as heck. So I just think that's always something that really, really does help. You know, it's kind of fun sometimes to say, hey, somebody's going to watch me lift that. So sometimes that challenge and that little bit of showmanship can help you a little bit. But to get into your question about what I noticed in these people that's very different, a lot of them are early risers, and it's kind of funny because I'm really not. I'm somebody that gets up at like 7 a.m. You know, I work from home and I can gym's right down the street. So I myself, I'm not an early riser, but a lot of people I interviewed are. And something I noticed about them too is they have a lot of things that they're doing systemized. A lot of people that don't really have things under control, you can just notice how crazy things are. Like they have fire after fire after fire in their business, and they don't really know how to put them out. So the people that really succeed have systems, and they can actually give those jobs away to other people and then create more off of that. So that's another big thing. And then also it's just really a viewpoint. For a lot of people that haven't really gotten to that next level of success, they're so worried about, you know, putting food on the table, creating income, creating a product, all these different things, because they're just trying to survive. They're more self-determined. And a lot of these people I interviewed, I just kind of found that they're able to think for larger groups or be determined to cross the group. And that's really, really cool, because they're going to survive because they're creating so much success for other people. They can't help but survive. So I think it's just really interesting how once you're able to take that viewpoint and flip it outwards, it creates a high level of success. And that's probably the single trait that I've noticed all of the uber successful kind of have in common, is this way of being able to kind of take that determinism and make it for a large group of people, and they'll be just well off if they can do that.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing some of the habits, characteristics, and traits that these really successful people have in common who have been on your show. And before we get to the next question, you mentioned that they rise really early and how you said 7 is a really late time for you. Some people would view 7 a.m. as waking up like really early, like early bird. Like what kind of early bird like are these people? Like, is there a sun outside when these people wake up?
Well, I'll tell you what though, Mark, like when I used to teach high school, like that was after my mom had a stroke and everything. And I used to have to help her get dressed in the morning before I went to the school to work. So I was up at 4:45 in the morning. So I find that to be early, and I kind of vowed to myself I was never going to do that again. So I guess that's kind of the story behind why 7 o'clock is just fine for me and kind of allows me to get everything done I need to get done.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing that additional tidbit, because I wanted like some listeners like maybe priding themselves that they wake up at 7 a.m. like they're an early bird. So I definitely wanted to get that nugget out so that people would understand that 7 a.m. for them is still quite the early bird time. But when you when you do wake up, like regardless of whether it's early bird or a little later, early bird would be better based on the successful people Jeremy has interviewed. But when you do wake up, the way you use your time determines what you get. And some people are just not able to fully unlock their full potential. Some people it's different than others, but what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
Themselves. They've created this story a lot of times of why they can't do certain things. And honestly, I just think it's crap, man. A lot of times we're our own worst enemy, because we want to blame things on other people, but you can look at a lot of situations in your life and you can say, you know, so-and-so was rude to me. Okay, great. Well, what did you do to them? And I think a lot of times when you can start looking at life from a place of full responsibility and the way of you're actually a lot more of a cause point than sometimes you want to admit, you realize, and that's not to sit on and think, you know, I suck and I'm horrible, but it's more of looking at from a viewpoint of you have this ability to change anything in your life. And how freaking cool is that? So I really think that once people can realize that they a lot of times are the barrier because they must innovate more, they must think harder, they must work harder, or they must even like interact differently with people. It's funny like how often you can just change how you communicate to somebody. You can actually change how they communicate to you. So I think once you kind of realize that a lot of what's going on in your life comes down to you, it can really change the game for you.
And I definitely agree that the stories that we tell ourselves really determine what we're able to achieve. And some people, though, they may not like the idea of themselves as the limit. Like, some people may disagree with that. So I was wondering if you could go deeper into like how to get someone who's like, how can I be my big limit, to realize that that is in the case, and to then be able to unlock your potential?
Well, it's funny because I think there's some people that you can tell them as many times as you want and they're not going to admit it because they don't want to be wrong. And our ability to not be wrong a lot of times creates so many problems. So let me give you an example here, right? Let's say you get in an argument with your friend and your friend is upset with you because maybe you didn't do something. Well, here's the thing. If you did what you said you were going to do, your friend doesn't get upset with you. So you kind of want to look at a lot of those different things in your life and just kind of realize, how can I be responsible for them? Like, how can I change them? How could I have played a part in that? You know, maybe if I get in a fight with my wife, well, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to her. So you want to kind of look at what's going on and how you can have a part in it. And I think once you kind of look at it like that and you're okay with accepting your part in it, because let's look at it. Life doesn't happen to you. It happens because of you. And I think that there's so many times you tell them that they can't accept it. So I think it's just kind of realizing that you have more control over your life than you like to think. And it's not the universe and it's not the stars and it's not all the things that people want to blame it on. But it comes down to you, man. And I think once you can do that, things become a whole lot easier for you.
I really like that insight of, it seems like even if something doesn't seem like your fault at all, you're still looking inward and seeing, how did I make this happen? How am I making something happen or making something not happen? And I really love taking that full level of responsibility for yourself and all of your actions. That's definitely an important trait to have during your journey. And it's going to be filled with many challenges, as all journeys are. And with challenges in mind, Jeremy, I wonder if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
I was scared as hell of the telephone. I was scared as hell of like talking to people and stuff like that. And it's funny because that's like what I do all the time now. But the biggest thing for me was getting into different jobs that made me uncomfortable. As much as I didn't really enjoy life insurance, making 150 phone calls a day is going to make you very comfortable with using the phone. And because of that, that's kind of laid the successful groundwork for a lot of different things I did, is I became okay with rejection. I became okay with talking to people I didn't know. So it for me, that was kind of drilling down something I wasn't comfortable with to become one of my biggest assets. And I really feel my ability to communicate really helps me in a lot of different ways now. Because I've had to drill it down so much. I've always been very much an introvert, Mark, though I don't think you'd know it by talking to me now, because I've really been able to expand into who I am by pushing myself past those limitations of just doing it until it didn't hurt anymore.
I really find that fascinating, how you did 150 calls per day. And
woo, it was crazy, man.
That, I mean, I can't imagine it. Like, there are 24 hours in a day. Like, what are like 4 minute calls or like?
Well, no, here you go. So like when people say calls, when they're selling something. So like there's a company out there. It's not the one I worked for. I worked for a different insurance company, but there's a company out there called Bankers Life. And, their big thing is they have people that make like 200 to 300 phone calls a day. Now, a phone call, when you're making calls like that, does not mean that you got on the phone with every single one of those people. It just means you're making calls, because sometimes it may take 3, 4, 5 times following up on somebody to get on the phone. But a lot of times, let's say you call somebody, Mark, and they don't pick up the first time. We kind of dub in our own like thinking like, oh, they're avoiding me, or they're this or they're that. Once you get good at making that many phone calls. You just follow up till you get what you need. And I think that's what's kind of interesting.
That is definitely interesting. I mean, people are not at the phone at the time, or there's so many reasons that it wouldn't happen at that particular time, but that persistent follow-up definitely makes a difference between success and failure. And one of the things that I also believe makes a difference between success and failure is the amount of knowledge that we are constantly acquiring throughout our journeys. And as Breakthrough Success listeners may know, I'm a really big bookworm. So I love asking guests this question because this will benefit Breakthrough Success listeners and give me a bigger reading list. So Jeremy, what are three great books you can think of that would help us grow our businesses?
Well, do we like to say it knowledge? Do we like to say it like that or no?
Anyway works as long as the message is communicated.
Oh my gosh. Well, for me, the 10X rule is one of the really first big books that got me moving, because it's by Grant Cardone. And that was really the ability to think bigger, because a lot of times, especially when we're not from a business background, we do something once or twice and it doesn't work. And we're like, oh, guess it doesn't work. And then we kind of realize that the estimation of effort is off a lot of times. It's the amount of work that we have to do to actually like get that end product. So for me, that was really big to learn how to set bigger actions and bigger goals. I actually just finished reading a book, Mark, which I totally would recommend that your audience read. It's a biography of Elon Musk by Ashley Vance. And it was pretty incredible because I knew a little bit about Elon and some of his businesses, but just to see the way the guy thinks and the way he runs a business, it's just incredible to see somebody that thinks that big. And also, as funny as it sounds, The 4-Hour Work Week was an awesome book as well, just because it made me not really think about location-independent businesses or anything like that, but it made me look at more of things I could systemize in my business and my life so I wasn't wasting time. So that was really a big one too, The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss.
Jeremy, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. Some of them I've read, others I'm definitely planning on adding. 4-Hour Work Week is interesting because the title suggests that you're not working very much, but from past guests who have recommended that book, it's more of a theme of learning how to systematize than getting to that 4 hours a week.
Well, you know what's funny is Tim actually used to teach that book before it was a book as a class at Princeton. And the title of the class was Drug Dealing for Fun and Profits. And apparently his publisher didn't like that very much. And the 4-Hour Work Week did pretty well in Google AdWords ranking. So there you go.
That is a very fun fact. That's going to be trivia someday. Thank you for providing us with that fun fact and for the great book recommendations. And before I let you share the listeners where they can find you on the web, I'm going to flip the stage on you and ask you for one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often.
Where can I add value to the world? Because I'll tell you what, man, there's too many takers out there. And once you start to be a giver and live in abundance, a lot more things happen for you. And for me, it's created a lot of opportunities. So you need to ask yourself, how can I be a giver and not a taker?
Jeremy, thank you for sharing with us that great question and for sharing all of your great insights in this interview. And before we get to the end, for all the listeners wondering, where can we find you on the web?
Absolutely. So I actually am the founder and co-founder and CEO of a company called Command Your Brand Media that helps people get on top-rated podcasts. So I actually put together a checklist for your audience over at commandyourbrand.media/checklist, which will help them become a great podcast guest. And if they're interested in anything I have to do on social media or any of my interviews, they can check me out over at jeremyryanslate.com.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those links and the show notes will be at markgoberti.com/E83. Jeremy, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much for having me, man. I hope your audience got something out of this.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgoberti.com/iTunes or markgoberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.
Want your tweets to get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success podcast and include the link markgoberti.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me, mark@markgoberti.com, and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Gubertie. For more insights, head on over to markgubertie.com.